Okay, good. Well, at least we'll have a recording of the session. We're going to get started a little earlier. That way people will be joining us as we go. Someone just joined?
It's Tanya from Charlotte.
Hey, Tanya.
Hi.
Over in Charlotte. You're having this beautiful weather in North Carolina that we're having?
Mm-hmm.
Great afternoon. I was telling earlier that the Sherry, that the two problems are spring colds and poison ivy, and I haven't gotten the poison ivy yet. I got the cold, but poison ivy's coming. I'm just so allergic to that. It's incredible. Well, we're going to get started, and then there'll be people joining us, and we'll kind of go from there. This is an interesting time because the new grantees are going to be announced momentarily. Glo, did you hear anything?
No, actually, I haven't. I tried to get a hold of someone from headquarters this morning, but wasn't able to talk to anyone. And I haven't heard anything all week, so I would just have to assume that they still anticipate to make that announcement tomorrow. So let's hope they do. If they do, I will post a link to the listserv so that everyone can see who was funded for 2016.
Sure.
And speaking of the listserv, I just wanted to say again, I think I said this the last time, that we're in the process of switching our listserv to a different server with different software. Apparently, the software that we've been using is no longer supported, and so we've been having some problems with it lately. So we're in the process of changing that. I understand that during that process, everyone that's a member on the listserv is being sent an invite. And so when you get that, if you could just reply, because it is a valid invitation to be on this listserv. So I just wanted to make people aware that it's not a scam thing.
Amy Dawes from the Private Industry Council.
Great. Always good to have a pick online. There'll be people joining us. We started a little early here today because we were having some technical difficulties. But who just joined?
This is Joanna Borowick from the City of Milwaukee.
Great.
Okay. And Jerry Dunbar with the City of Pittsburgh in California.
Great. You know, I bet you always have to tell us it's California because as soon as you say Pittsburgh, I'm thinking Northeast.
Yeah, you
someone
get
else?
Used to it.
Right. Anyone else join? Okay. Well, we've got a special time now. Glo, were there any other announcements that you want to remind everyone of?
The only other one was for the grantee meeting. The all-grantee meeting this year is going to be August 17th and 18th. And if you plan to attend, please get your registration in as soon as you can. The hotel deadline is July 26th. So it's much easier to cancel a reservation than it is to get one after that deadline. So get registered if you plan to attend. And that was all I had, Mike.
Okay. And because you're in the PLC, it doesn't matter whether if you submitted a grant and you didn't get it. And for those who just joined, they haven't made the announcement, but they were supposed to make the announcement tomorrow. So we're going to send out to everyone the announcement of who received funding this year. But whether you did or not, and especially if you didn't, I would sign up for the, if you can find the funds to get to Alexandria, Virginia in August, I would sign up because it may even be more important because the next round of RFPs due will be November or so, and it's really time to get started on the next round. So these are annual competitions, and it's a good time to go through all of the elements of the job training program and to rub elbows with experienced grantees and all of the regional coordinators who you may want to see anyway about your grant and get prepared for the next round. So today we're going to be fortunate enough to talk to someone who's been around for a while. And, you know, when we do these RFPs, they come out every November. They're competitions that everyone has to go into. And everyone starts at an equal setting. Now, about half of them, there's about, depending on the funding, about 12, 13, up to 17 grantees that are awarded funding, about half are usually re-ups, I call them, existing grantees, or about half brand new ones. And they don't, there's no set amount or percentage. It just seems to be what's been happening the last several years. We have some really good grantees, but they have to recompete on a basics, on a regular scale with everyone else. There's no favoritism to someone who has been around for a long time. Probably the only advantage they have is they've got a lot of experience. They've been a lot of these workshops. They have been able to build up numbers, so their grants tend to look pretty impressive. But even I think there's a lot of competition among re-ups, experienced grantees, and then there's also competition on new grantees. So I think no matter which category you're in, it's probably good and best thing to do is to get as much experience in partnering as you can and perhaps go to this grantee meeting. But we'll still be sending out notices to everyone. In the announcements and in the post-session notes, we'll send out some announcements on any meetings that are going on and any grant opportunities. If you are not getting the post-session notes, which should come in the next couple of days, just email me your contact information, and that's msenew@aol.com. This session, this tranche of, we've done 147 of these calls. We do them every 2 weeks. We have a different theme on each round, and this time we've talked to different grantees, and they have a lot in common, and they've been all very successful. But the thing that's not common about them all is they've been each a different type of grantee. In other words, it's a different structure that they've had. And we'll have a summation call in the next call or two before the cycle ends about what the differences are about each of these. Some are standalone programs, some are WIBs, some are nonprofits, some are cities, some are governmental organizations, and we've been examining on how they partner and how they develop their program. And today, we've got a very interesting program. Sherry has been working with Pat for quite a few years. The last time we talked to him was in November of 14. New Orleans, of course, we're all familiar with Katrina, but Patrick is a very interesting person. He started a consulting firm, BFA Associates. It's the largest in the Gulf Coast, the largest African-American owned environmental remediation firm down in New Orleans. And he started about 1997. He had this idea of he needed workers. And he thought, gee, we've got so many disadvantaged people here. If there is some way of training those people, they could fill in the gap and the need for workers. And I think this was in his mind for quite a while. And the first grant they got was back in the day in 2008 after Katrina. It was with Goodwill. And after that, I think Patrick and Sherry could tell us more about that. But I think that he saw what he needed to do to make this organization work. And he started partnering. And that's what has really made their program work well. And the Goodwill grant was in 2008, but then Limitless Vistas got rolling on the job training in 2010, and then they re-upped, competed. They got another one in 2012 and another one in 2014, training people of New Orleans. Patrick was awarded a White House award, as a matter of fact, for the community work he's done. And, of course, Sherry's been with him through these years making this program work. So this is an interesting grantee in that he was a private consulting firm and then decided to start this job training program, but he needed help, and he partnered. And Sherry will tell us about the partnerships that they all have made this thing work for them over the years, which is different than any of the other ones. The other one that we have like this is Zender Environmental, and Zender was also a consulting firm, and it the Zender Environmental decided to also develop one of these programs. So we've got just two examples of models where we had private sector consultants actually start the program and then learn to partner and then take it from there. So with that said, I'll turn this over to Sherry, and you can tell us about where you're going. Sherry?
All right. Thanks, Mike. That was a great introduction, by the way. You took half of my stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. In addition to our EPA, so Limitless Vistas is a nonprofit organization, and we focus on training underserved, underemployed, usually minorities in the city of New Orleans. And we have other grants besides the EPA grant that helps us accomplish that. We also have grants from the CORE Network, which is an AmeriCorps program. We also have an Oxfam America grant, and we've also received grants from the city through their NOLA for Life program. The AmeriCorps program really helps us set the tone for a lot of our work, because the EPA grant pays for the training, but the AmeriCorps program helps pay to get these young people out and about in the community, so they're learning about community service, doing environmental projects. And that has really been the focus of Limitless Vistas probably for the last 7 or 8 years, to combine training with community service projects. And it seems to work really good, because once they get the classroom training, then we go take them out in the field, and that training gets reinforced. So we have a lot of fun doing it, too, as well. Plus, the AmeriCorps program provides participants with a living stipend as well as scholarships when they graduate. So it's a good program, and it works well with the EPA grant. One reason why we are so successful is that most of us in the office have worked as environmental consultants in the past, so we kind of know what employers are looking for. But we don't just stand on what we know. We also do regular interviews and surveying of employers and community leaders to make sure that we're fitting their needs, as well as providing our participants with usable certifications and skills and knowledge, not just fluff. You know, all the certifications that EPA wants us to give them are the certs that employers are looking for, which is great, but they also want a little bit more. And we've added things to our program, such as field technician basics, wetlands restoration. That's a biggie around here in the Gulf Coast. What else? All kinds of stuff. We also do job readiness skills, which includes helping all the participants prepare professional resumes, as well as practice interviewing skills. So we do a lot. Our program is actually 6 months long. So we have a lot of time to work with them, and it's really rewarding for us to see a lot of these people coming in off the streets and can't look you in the eye, but when they leave, they're standing up straight and tall and greeting everybody. So it's a good program, and we all enjoy working here for the most part. Anything else, Libby?
You know, Sherry, one thing that we're probably all interested in is, of course, EPA funds just the technical training, but you've partnered with the WIB, and you partnered with AmeriCorps. And AmeriCorps is a big one because I think a lot of people are questioning, how do you get AmeriCorps into your program? Do you apply for grants with them?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They are also competitive grants.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a variety of different ways you can apply for AmeriCorps and different levels of AmeriCorps. We are actually part of the Corps network, which is like a sub to AmeriCorps, kind of, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And so we work through the Corps network, and they work on getting that major grant, and then they distribute it to their grantees.
Congratulations. I think you just got re-upped on that, as a matter of fact. There was an announcement recently that you were in a new, I think it was a new Corps network, the 21st, I think it's the 21st Century Corps Network.
Yeah, we're part of that too, which is a big deal, because they are, you know, they're specifically targeting work with the National Park and National Wildlife Refuges. And 21st Century Service Corps is really, if you could get that certification, it's more like a certification than anything. If you can get that acknowledgement, it helps you get into AmeriCorps. It also helps you get work or community service projects through the national parks and refuges.
Now, are you given employees? Is this a program where they actually give you in-kind leveraging?
No.
Okay.
No. There are some opportunities for fee for service. If through the 21st century, you can get projects that you get paid to do, but it's still you provide all the employees and core members.
Mm-hmm. So they're sort of interlinked, the AmeriCorps and the Conservation Corps and the whole Corps network are all very large programs, but kind of interlinked, it sounds like.
Yeah, they are. They are.
When you're recruiting, and I also understand you're working with the Workforce Investment Board, the local, whatever, their one-stops, to bring your people in. How do you screen them? Do you have certain criteria?
We bring them in and we interview. Well, we have them fill out an application, which is pretty extensive because it's an AmeriCorps-type application, so asks a lot of questions. And then we also give them just a screening test to see what level of education they're at. And it's the test is based on the GED test. So most of them do pretty good, but we found that those that get 50% or less usually don't do too well in the program.
Mm-hmm.
But we aren't one of those programs that has tryouts and boot camp
mm-hmm.
and all that kind of stuff.
mm-hmm. Yeah, we've examined over these PLCs. You know, the interesting thing is every program is a little bit different, and you've got a very unusual structure. You know, we've talked about programs like ARTS, who has a construction program. He's basically operating with the whole youth build organization. Now, you're
right.
taking a totally different approach and working it through the AmeriCorps conservation approach, which is also what New Jersey Youth Corps did for a long time, a grantee for quite a few years, 10 years or so, and which is a totally different approach. But you've been able to leverage those funds and resources in a way that mm-hmm. you could combine it with the EPA work and really come up with some good leveraged programs. Can you tell us a little bit about the courses that you're teaching?
We are giving them the OSHA construction safety, depending on the the students either the 10-hour or the 30-hour level, the 40-hour HAZWOPER, 8-hour DOT HAZMAT, UST Class C operators license, which is when we got our last EPA grant, they wanted us to teach about USTs. And that licensing program is basically for gas station attendants, but it's a really good online program that goes over the basics of how a UST system works. So in the process of taking that, they get this operator's license as well. We give them first aid, CPR, bloodborne pathogens, and a whole slew of FEMA Incident Command System and disaster response certifications from experience with the hurricanes and the BP oil spill. If they have those FEMA courses, they'll be much more likely hired quickly than if they don't have them. So we found those to be useful. We also teach under the brownfield section, we teach about phase ones, phase two environmental site assessments, soil and groundwater sampling, teach them field technician basics, like stuff about cross-contamination to mapping, just all kinds of different little tidbits they need to know if they're going out to work in the field. We also give them wastewater treatment basics, and we've had a few of our guys get placed with the local sewage and water board, which is exciting for us. And within the last 2 or 3 years, we've added water quality sampling, which is, we do that with the national park, but it's a good method to get the kids trained to actually collect field samples and take good field notes and all that kind of stuff. And we've also added wetlands restoration due to the BP oil spill money that's coming into the Gulf Coast.
Are they providing your program with any money with the BP?
No. You have to work through different levels of government agencies. And we've been working through those, and there's some grants coming out. They're very slow. Well, they were just awarded actual money not too long ago. I mean, we've been hearing about money for years, but they actually got money not too long ago. So they're starting to distribute that.
We found that to be true with the Valdez way back when. There were a lot of part of the settlement was providing training. And there was quite a bit of money, that went to community colleges and different programs through that. But it did take a long time. And one of the four people who are looking for funds, we also suggest working through the Attorney General's office. And often they will have a fund for training as penalties. Mm-hmm. And I was also impressed in looking at your program at your fundraising activities. I noticed because of your background, which is different than the background of many people who come out of government or nonprofits, you're very entrepreneurial. Your website is really good. You did a fundraiser last week with NOLA, which was excellent. So it sounds like you're really always keeping an eye on donations and funding, and your website is excellent, and your Facebook page is excellent, and they also all point towards supporting the organization. So I have to congratulate you. That's a little different than a lot of people who just rely on grants or government appropriations for your program.
All the grants have some kind of strings attached to them, like we can't serve food. But a lot of our guys don't have homes, so we need a way to help feed them when they come in and stuff like that. So,
do you do drug tests? Is there a drug issue Will you have to take tests, drug tests, or do you not? That and the ex-offender issue, do you have any restrictions in terms of those?
We do a lot of work with reentry programs. We found that to be a really good outreach effort. And we don't accept sex offenders or murderers per the AmeriCorps restrictions. But other than that, you know, as long as they behave themselves while they're here, they're welcome. We don't do drug testing. However, before we place a person on an internship or on a job, we do drug testing at that time. And it's very difficult because the culture in New Orleans is very bizarre. So, you know, we try to get them ready for a regular society before we send them out, and it takes a lot of work and effort. But most of them really want to succeed, so that's helpful.
Well, this is it is interesting because, and they run into this, and Art's talked about it, where marijuana is legal, but the employers won't hire them if they don't test positive. So while it may be legal and easily available, you really have to guide your students towards, you've got to be able to be hired. And so it's a mandatory that at some point in this program, you've got to come clean. Some people don't even get past the first door if they're not clean in the beginning. And then others, they say, you will be tested, and you've got to give it up if you want to get into this business. And,
yeah, well, I remind my guys, you know, that alcohol is legal, but you can't go to work drunk.
Good point. Now, are you doing your own placement, or are you relying on the WIB at all? It sounds like you use the WIB for recruitment purposes, and then you screen them once they send some applicants to you. And I assume you're getting some help for your life skills through the WIB also, probably.
Yeah, we use the WIB for recruitment and placement. Especially for our reentry guys, those guys that are ex-offenders, they seem to have the most success with those guys. We're also working with the mayor's office, who has a reentry service program as well. And between those two, we've had luck placing some really difficult people to place. Because they know how to work the system to get them a good job. So,
working with the mayor's office, we found is really effective. If for new grantees or even grantees that have not engaged with City Hall, it just seems like those grantees who have been able to make a personal connection with someone in the mayor's office, and often it might even be economic development, or it might even be a construction division in there, or housing division. In your case, it's a reentry division. They seem to have connections that are difficult to establish, but are very effective. And
right,
and
we didn't start out working with the reentry. We started out working with the environmental and brownfields division, but we've expanded that since.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is once you get into the mayor's office like that, you got into the brownfields office, and then they said, gee, from looking at your program, you need to talk to the people over in reentry. And you may not have even known there was a reentry office. Who would know? And,
right.
So then they refer you to you. They may, at a future date, refer you to some housing office, some housing group that they're doing. And, of course, in Detroit, who's on the line, perfect example of you all connecting with the mayor's office and then getting into meetings where the deconstructors, people tearing down all the homes, said, well, we need people with asbestos and lead certifications, and we'll take whoever you got. And they're very serendipitous in terms of establishing those relationships, but incredibly valuable. Your program is a lot different in that you've got a multi-month program, which gives you a lot of time to work with these kids and
right.
young adults.
Yeah.
Do they work on stipends, did you say, through AmeriCorps, some of them?
Yes. As long as they're 18 to 24, we can offer them a stipend and a scholarship. If they're over 24, they're more than welcome to attend, but we can't provide them with a stipend or scholarship because that's the restrictions of our AmeriCorps grant at this time.
Is that like a $1,200 stipend or something like that? Is that...
They're getting, well, the scholarship is $2,800. The living stipend is $210 every 2 weeks.
Good.
So
this has worked out really well for you.
Yeah, and most of these guys, you know, before they start getting their living stipend or can't even get here because they don't have bus fare and that kind of stuff. So it's helpful.
They're able to use that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of our, when we get things from AmeriCorps, we send them out, AmeriCorps and 21st Century.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a big program. It's really hard to get into. And I think you've demonstrated that once you get into those programs, they can be really valuable.
And
your brownfields work.
Limitless Vistas is a small nonprofit, so if we could do it, anybody can.
Well, I think you've done a lot of things that are very innovative. And again, it points, I think, to you and Patrick have had to work like little entrepreneurs in getting this thing going. You're not attaching on to a big organization. You weren't an established nonprofit originally, and you kind of learned and went along. And it's very entrepreneurial. I have to congratulate you for that. Anyone have any questions? Okay. I think we're just all learning from you, Sherry. We appreciate your time.
No problem.
And look forward to seeing you this summer.
Yep, I'll be there.
Okay. And if anyone has any questions, they can give you an email. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, great. Okay, well, we'll talk to you all in a couple of weeks, and hopefully tomorrow or the next couple of days we'll find out about the next group of awards. And another thing we're going to do on one of these PLCs is where do we go from here? So whether you got re-upped or not re-upped or funded or not funded, there's lots of opportunities coming up. So we'll keep on rolling. So talk to you all soon then, and have a good day.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.